If you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, if you'll turn to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and we'll be looking at verses 14 and 15 tonight. And as you're turning there, I got to catch my breath a minute. The 7th chapter, verses 14 and 15. I want us to think back over this past year. It's been a real rough year. If I heard the news correctly, I think it was a year ago this month, the first case of corona was said that the United States had, back in January of last year. And so look at what the United States has been through this last year. Look at all the riots that's been going on, all the bickering and fussing and fighting. And And I never talk about politics, only with my wife and my sister. I figure I can win with those two. And I'm not talking about politics tonight. I'm talking about our country. You know, our country is one of the greatest country, if not the greatest country in the world. Last time I preached, I said that when God inspired this Bible, when he inspired man to write it, it was good for them back in the biblical days. It's good for us today. Every word in it. And so let's look at these two verses of scripture here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place." He's talking to us. When he says, "If my people," you want to know if you're his people? Over in 2 Timothy, I'm not going to ask you to turn. I'm just going to. Over in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So if you've ever asked Christ to save you, then you're his people. He's called us. When he saved you, he called you. Preacher made a statement the other day from the pulpit about being called by Jesus. I believe every Christian has a purpose that God's called them to do. It's a work that God's called you. I don't believe, I may be wrong, but I don't believe that God called you just to fill a pew. He's called you to do a work. Now that work may be sitting there smiling at me saying amen. Or that work might be greeting people at the back door. That work might be picking up the piece of gum wrapper off the floor. That work might be praying for somebody. You know, when I need things done, now I pray all the time. That's the last thing I do when I go to bed at night. That's the first thing I do in the mornings when I wake up. I pray. But when I want to really get God to hear prayer, there's two people I'll call. I'll call my mama. My mama's one of the greatest prayer warriors I've ever known. She used to tell me all the time, son, I'm praying for you. And I used to tell, there's nine of us kids. I used to tell her, Mom, pray for the other eight. I don't need it. Now I tell her, Mom, pray for me all the time. I need it. And then I'll call my sister. I got a sister over in Waycross, or just outside of Waycross, a town called Blackshear. If I need prayer, I call her. I say, sis, this is what I need you to pray about. They're prayer warriors. They're on their knees. They're in their Bible. They're praying to God all the time. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. You want God to heal our land? You want God to hear our prayers? We got to turn from the way we live in this world. We got to turn from what's going on in this world. You know, now I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell my mama, I'm going to take you back in time. I'm going to take you down memory lane. You know what's wrong with our world today? We've taken God out of everything. We've taken God out of the home. We've taken God out of school. Some churches has even taken God out of churches. That's what's wrong with our world today. We put God back in our life, and we start working for Christ. We start witnessing to people. We start praying and getting serious about our prayers. God's going to listen to our prayers. God's going to start moving. You know, I said I was going to take you down memory lane. We've taken discipline out of the home. You know, kids have no idea. You know, my son and his wife, some years back, when our grandbaby was just, I don't know, he's about yay high, they come to the house one day, and he was doing things he shouldn't have been doing. And his mom and daddy says, if you don't quit that, I'm going to put you in time out. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, put you in time out. And so he didn't quit. They snatched him up. They went over there and they sat him down on the couch and they said, now don't you move, you're in time out. You know what my mama would have done? Yeah, my mama would have said, I'm going to put you in time out. I'm going to give you time to think about this. We had 13 Australian pine trees out in the backyard. If you don't know what an Australian pine tree is, it grows, I mean, tall. And it's got switches on them about yay big. And she would say, go get me a switch. While you're out there getting it, you think about what you've done and you can come on back in here. You go get the switch. You go back in there. And she'd take that switch. Forgive me, Mama. I know she's watching. But she'd take that switch and she'd grab me by the arm and she'd start swapping them legs, running me around in a circle. You gonna do that anymore? You gonna listen to me? And I'd say, yes, ma'am. She'd say, don't you backtalk me. And she'd just keep on getting it. Then she'd set you down on the couch and she'd say, now hush that crying. And you'd be over there going, she'd turn around and she'd say, you want me to give you something to cry about? Well, yes, ma'am, that's what I woke up for this morning. You just beat me half to death. Go ahead and do it again. I need to cry some more. But that's discipline. I never got a whipping that I didn't deserve. Well, maybe one, but never. My mama loved me so much that she disciplined me. And if you don't think she disciplined all nine of us, you ask any one of the nine except for my younger brother. He never got a whipping. She loved him the best. But she would whip you. And you didn't do it again. You learn. God whips his children. When we mess up, God will get you. God will make you start thinking about what you've been doing. So if his people shall humble themselves, because we know we're called by his name. When he saved us, he called us. So we know we're his people. So if we would just humble ourselves and seek his face, he'll hear us. All throughout his word, he tells us. He hears our prayer. We ask him. He'll give it to us if it glorifies him. if we're asking selfishly, we're not going to get it. But if it's to glorify the Father, His Word tells us He'll give it to us. In 1 Peter, it tells us we're a chosen generation. God has chosen us, folks. He's chosen us to be His work tool. You know, we're His workmate. You seen that TV, the workmate bench? We're like that. He called us to do the work for Him. And if we'll humble ourselves and we'll seek His face, we'll seek the things He wants us to do as Christians. You say, well, brother, I try to do. Well, you want to know what He wants you to do? Pray. When you pray, you're talking straight to God. It's just like if you and I were talking, and then getting His Word. Start studying His Word. He'll start showing you things. He'll start showing you the work to be done. You know, the Bible tells us over in the New Testament that the fields are white with harvest, that it's time that we can go out and we can start witnessing for God and we can start doing the things God wants us to do. We can get down on our knees and we can pray and He'll hear our prayers and He'll give us the things that we want if it's to glorify Him. You know, over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, it tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the things you've done in life, all those bad things you've done in life, they're gone. They're in your past. God forgave you for that. When He died on the cross, He forgave you for that. When you accepted Him as your personal Savior, He forgave you of everything in your past. So everything become new. It's a new walk. It's a new talk. It's a new way to pray. Besides, God can't hear a sinner's prayer other than God save me. He can't hear, oh, Lord, I need this. Oh, Lord, I need that. He can only hear a sinner's prayer. But after you're saved, He hears every prayer that a Christian utters to Him. And so, all your old things have passed away. They're gone. You're a new creature. You know what I'm trying to say? Yes, in Christ. So, let's act like it. You know what the word Christian means? To be Christ-like. How many of us in our daily walk of life is Christ-like? Don't raise your hand. You know, a preacher told me one time, and it was my daddy, told me when I was just a young lad, be careful how you live your life. It may be the only Bible anybody ever reads. And how true, the older I get, how true that statement is. You know, so what kind of life are we living? Are we living a life that's pleasing to God, that others can see Jesus in us, that others can see Christ in us? We should be. The Bible tells us that all the old things are passed away. We're a new creature in Christ. So everything should be new. And in the book of James, we're going to wind up here in just a minute. In the book of James, it tells us to submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. How true is that statement, folks? You know, if you tell the devil, look, I've had enough of you, devil. Get behind me. Leave me alone. And then you get down and you start drawing near to God. You start praying to God. You start humbling yourself. God's going to start hearing your prayers. God's going to draw near to you. You know, and when we walk with God, now we're not, none of us is perfect, but when we walk with God, others can see Jesus in you. You know, one of my deepest desires is for people to look at my life and say, you know, that man has something I want, and that being Christ Jesus. You know, I desire that. I pray that the Lord would let me walk closer to him each day. One of the last things I ask God to do in my nightly prayers is I ask God, Lord, put me in somebody's path tomorrow that I can tell them about you. I want to tell people about Christ. I want them to know that there is a life after death if you're a born-again Christian. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, your name's written in the book of life. And the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the moment you take your last breath on this earth, you're going to be present with him. And there, if you're a born-again Christian, there you're going to live for an eternity. Ever think how long an eternity is? You know, it ain't 5 years, ain't 10 years, ain't 20 years. It's forever and ever and ever. And that's where we're going to be if we accepted Christ as our Savior. And last but not least, in the book of Luke, the 9th chapter. And if anybody wants these scriptures, see me after church and I'll be glad to give them to you. Luke chapter 9. Verse 26, it says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father and of holy angels. Folks, how many times have you been in a group of people? An occasion has arose that you had the opportunity to tell them about Christ, and you decided, oh, man, that's just, I don't believe it's the right time for me to say anything. I don't believe it would go good with this crowd. To me, that's being ashamed of Jesus. And if we are ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of us. And I sure don't want him sitting at the Father's right hand telling him, Father, you know, I'm ashamed of him right now. But forgive him anyway. I forgive him. You forgive him. But, you know, he didn't tell those people about me. I don't want that. Do you? I don't think anybody wants that. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, you don't want that. But if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, it's not going to make a difference to you. How can you tell people about Christ? If you don't have a personal relationship with him, how can you tell anybody else about him? You can't. You got to have a personal relationship with Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can stand and tell people about you, dear Heavenly Father, and read your scripture, dear Heavenly Father, your word. And I just thank you that you've allowed me the opportunity to do that. And I ask you to bless each and every person that's here tonight. I ask that they would go away saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Now go with us, lead us, guide us, and direct us, and bring us back at our next appointed time. And I'll be sure to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory, which through your precious Son's name I ask these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.